are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise God. So wonderful holiday weekend, and I'm glad to see all the people that are out this morning. Welcome the people on Facebook. And my topic today is about rest. Rest. The promised rest of God's people. Rest for weary souls. Well, this is a topic that lately has been very close to me. I'm learning about rest through life experience, things that I'm living through now. Many of you know all the things that are going on with Pastor Alvin. It's been about a year and a half that he has been in and out in the hospital. Well, and I can even take it back to maybe even December 2020 when he first had his foot amputated. This has been a very, very different kind of a journey for him, a very long journey. He continues to press forward. But while he's on this journey, our family and myself, we're also a part of the journey. I'm sorry. Did children get released? I'm sorry. Okay. We're on the journey with him. And so while we're on the journey, we're asking God all these questions, you know. What's going on, Lord? How long will this be? Are we forgetting to do something? Should we do more of this, less of that? How do you want us to go forward? Should we do this? I just have so many questions because I want to plan. I want to work it out. I want to see what we can do. Very much trying to be proactive in the hopes that we can get this moving forward and get done what God wants done. Well, the Lord's instructions, and they pretty much have been the same since about February 2022, have been, it's not Pastor Alvin's time to come home and be with me. So don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. That's number one. He says, when it's time, you'll know what to do. When it's time, you'll know what to do. When? I don't know. What? I don't know. I want to plan. We're looking to relocate. We lived in our home for 44 years, but we've been looking to relocate and get something more on one level. We've been looking. Let's get this and let's do that. Let's plan this. It's like, when it's time, you will know what to do. And the last of the three important instructions, because he's given me several, I want you to live the life I purposed for you to live while you take care of Alvin. So those have been my instructions in the midst of all that's going on. Now, while we're taking care of Alvin, we're also taking care of my youngest son, who for the past 2 years has been under the weather with a spinal injury, which has pretty much kept him sitting down for about 2 years, except to get up and go to an occasional doctor's appointment. It's a long struggle. It affected his nerves, his walking, his fingers, everything. It just was crazy. It just came out of the blue. He just recently had a surgery, which, praise God, is we can start to see the effects of the surgery, but it's slow. It's not like, yippee, jump up and get going. No, it's slow, 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 slow. So those are kind of things that are going on just in my house, right? And this is just two trials my family's going through. And the word is through. I keep saying through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. We are walking through. God is with us, walking through, teaching us, growing us, maturing us, saving, delivering, healing us through. So always remember the through. But people everywhere are also experiencing trials and hard times. And souls are becoming weary because it kind of keeps going on and on and on. This post-pandemic world is complicated. It's really messed up and it's very trying. People are stressed and they're trying to work things out so that they can get ahead, so they can make things work out, so they can move forward and keep their heads above water. They're working hard to plan out and to maintain their lives. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the car and I heard this song that I'm getting ready to ask them to play. and it reminded me of what I'm going to be preaching about today. So I'd like to let you listen to this song for just a second, and we're going to talk about the words from the song. The song is called Just Be Held.
All together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, just be held.
Just be held. Just be held. Listen to the words. Hold it all together. Everybody needs you strong. What does that mean? Get up, do something, fix it, work on it. People are looking up to you. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And you're tired of fighting and you're chained to your own control where you're trying to fix it, fix it, fix it. But there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down, let it go. When you're on your knees, answers seem so far away. You're not alone. Stop holding on to your will, to your way, how I want to fix it, and just be held. Rest, rest, rest in the Lord. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place because I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. I really like the bridge, lift your hands, lift your eyes, because in the storm, is where you find me. And where you are, I, the Lord, will hold your heart. I will hold your heart. That just gets me every time. Come to me and find your rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. This is what he's telling us in these trying days and times, to just be held. I was listening to or reading a little bit about the composer who wrote this song, and he was going through something when he wrote it. He said God used these words to remind him to rest in God, to rest in his truth, and cease striving. Be still and just let me hold you. Be still and just let me hold you. So if we could put this up, what is the definition of God's rest? It's a state or place where God rules and manages his creation, free from the chaos and disorder brought about by sin and rebellion. All who will cease striving, working themselves for their own work of bringing their own life under control, those are the ones that can enter God's rest. I did a very interesting study when I knew I was going to be sharing today about the rest of God. And it's based on chapter 4 in Hebrews. But the passage of scripture I'm going to start with starts a little before that, the end of the third chapter of Hebrews, starting about the 16th verse. And it speaks of the people of God, the Israelites, back in the days of Moses, hearing God's voice. You know, he gave them specific things he wanted them to do. But because of their unbelief, unbelief means, what are you talking about, God? I think my way is better. I have this preconceived notion in my mind that things should go like this. But what you're saying doesn't jive with what I'm thinking. What are we doing? And so we just don't believe because we don't want to. And this leads to disobedience. Well, never mind, God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to figure it out. I don't need you. I don't need your help. I don't want your help. And they were not able to enter God's rest because they would not listen and hear and obey. So these are the things I learned from my studies. Number one, in Genesis, God first mentions rest as part of the creation narrative. Now, God's rest on the seventh day is defined and has a very different concept than what we from the Western world might think rest could mean. The peoples from the Near East, when they think about the concept of a deity or a God at rest, this is what they see. God's rest is achieved as a result of order having been established and finished. So we see in Genesis 1 and 2, the earth is without form. It's dark. It's void. But by Genesis 2 and 2, God looks at everything that he has done, sees that everything is good, and on the seventh day, he rests. So God's rest represents disengagement from the process of establishing order, and God takes his place at the helm or at the head of everything to maintain an ordered, secure, stable creation. This would have been the Hebrew or Israelites' understanding of what rest means, as opposed to what maybe we might think when we first read about rest. We would say, oh, God's kicking back, putting up his feet, taking it easy. No, it's different. So that different concept of what rest means is number one. Number two, God established the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2nd chapter. It was an ordered paradise, and he put Adam in charge of it as the caretaker. Now, God is with him there, too. I think about that a lot. That must be amazing to get up and God's there and he's just walking around and talking with you. That's just amazing. But he was there too, walking and talking with Adam, fellowshipping with him. Now the garden represents another representation of God's rest. And mankind, at his beginning, is at rest with God. Adam was born into rest. But rest is not relaxation. Adam had a task to perform from the Lord. Still and yet, Adam is in the garden. He's in God's presence. He is experiencing God's rest. He's abiding with God, even as he's carrying out his tasks. Now, we all know that in Genesis 3, what happens? Adam and Eve rebel against God, and they get cast out of this garden. And now the hard labor begins. Much human effort is needed to survive. And God's rest, at least for right now, for man, is a memory. But God, my point three is, God restores rest in the Sabbath. As Bible history continues in Genesis 12, God calls Abraham. He says, follow me. And through Abraham, he establishes a family line. Later on in history, he delivers Abraham's descendants from slavery in Egypt. He takes them to Mount Sinai. You guys all know the story. And he establishes a covenant relationship with them. Now, what's a covenant relationship? A sacred, unbreakable agreement between God and his people. God's part is salvation, protection, providing the things we need. Our part is to follow God's ways and keep his commandments. So, as part of that covenant, God introduces the Sabbath as part of the Ten Commandments. They're commanded to remember the Sabbath, to rest on the Sabbath, and to keep the Sabbath holy. So the Sabbath, number one, is a ceasing from our own work. That was physical, and eventually it was going to be emotional, spiritual. And number two, they had received an invitation from God to participate in his rest. So that means that they participate as God is maintaining the ordered creation, bringing man back into fellowship, like in the garden, with him where Adam was abiding and under God's place of rest, even while he is carrying out his tasks. So he was bringing them back into that type of a fellowship. Don't know that that necessarily took place like God wanted it to take place. So number four, the promised land was next introduced. Also a picture of God's rest. In Genesis 12, God promised the land in Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. And you know that promise was repeated many, many, many times, including to Moses in Exodus 3, where God tells Moses he will bring the slaves in Egypt to Canaan, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's like unto the paradise of the garden. The former slaves, though, the Israelites, they never entered that promised land because, as I said earlier, of unbelief and disobedience. Then the Lord this time swore that these former slaves would never enter his rest. The promised land, as it represents God's rest, was again like a return to the garden, free from chaos, from slavery, oppression, and God would be with them. But unbelief and disobedience kept them out. So, how do we today enter into God's rest? Sometimes we're thinking about it and what does it mean? That's why this study was so good for me. I kind of get it, God. I kind of get it. How do I enter into your rest? Well, we want to read today from Hebrews, if you could put the scriptures up, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And these scriptures talk specifically about the rest of God. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared, this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter this rest. Now, as for the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. That's what he spoke to the Israelites. Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted before. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, if Joshua has succeeded in giving them the rest, moving them into the promised land they're talking about, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. That's what the Lord says. Let us do our best to enter into that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. So it says in this passage, we are warned not to harden our hearts. When we harden our hearts, we kind of become rebellious. And as I said, hardening the heart leads to rebellion. I said it too fast. We are warned against falling away or against apostasy. Apostasy means you're abandoning your belief. By trying and testing God with our disobedience, murmuring and complaining like Israel did in the desert. But today, God's promise of entering his rest still stands for us. Who will enter that rest? Those who believe God, obey God, and cease from their own labors. God's rest, again, is not relaxation, but a time of activity and work, abiding in God's kingdom. Today, we have the kingdom. The kingdom is like unto Adam with God, abiding and resting in his presence, like in the garden. Who will enter God's rest? Those who will rest from their own work of bringing their own life and world under control. When accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, you enter God's rest. Rest begins in these days and times with salvation. And when you accept Jesus as Savior, you enter into his kingdom, where God is at the helm, he's at the head, maintaining this ordered, secure, stable realm. I have a statement that you can put up: the future and complete rest of God that was promised in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So we're going to read what Jesus said. We can put up the scriptures, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Very familiar passage. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble, I am gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. If we break this scripture down, verse 28 starts with the word come. Jesus says to us, come. Come to Jesus by personal trust. Come to Jesus just as you are, with a load of care, with sins, with concerns, with weaknesses, with worries. Don't take on the weight of what you're carrying. There's a song that we've sung a lot here. Usually Cherise leads it. We haven't sung it in a while, though, but it's called Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And one of the lines says, how does it go? Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace, because of grace, don't take on the weight of whatever. I'm thinking about me. I say that a lot in my mind. They present me a bill from a hospital. They tell me something about Pastor Alvin. They tell me something about Jonathan. They tell me something about this or that, and it's not working out. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? He says, don't take on the weight. Dance like the weight has been lifted, because grace is waiting for you, Deborah. He reminds me of that. Jesus promises rest if you will only come to him. To come means to set your heart upon him and believe him to truly be your Lord, your Savior, your helper, your believer, whatever you need him to be. He calls out to you who are burdened. Sometimes these burdens we put on ourselves. Sometimes others have put burdens on us, and we're trying to carry them. We're trying to fix it. They're handing you a bill. They're telling you this or telling you that. You accept it and say, oh, what am I supposed to do? Don't take on the weight of it, he says. Don't live in self-sufficiency, he says. Come. Come to me. If we go to verse 29, he says, let me teach you. Jesus says, let me teach you. Come. Not just to get something from God, but come to learn. Come to be discipled. Come to be guided by Jesus himself. Come willing to be yoked with Jesus. We're going to talk more about yokes in a minute. Jesus' yoke is a yoke of love. And if things don't feel quite right, it feels ill-fitting to you, it's probably because you're in a place where you're leaning towards disobedience or rebellion. Verse 29b says, Jesus speaks of his nature. Jesus says of himself, I am gentle. I am lowly of heart. That means that Jesus has a servant's heart. And that servant's heart qualifies him to be the one to help you bear your burdens. Jesus' gift to each one of us is rest for our souls. The birthright of those of us who have accepted Jesus and we are his followers and disciples, we receive rest for our souls. We can receive rest for our souls. Rest for our souls, that's Jesus quoting from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16, where they're talking about following God's ancient paths. And they say in verse 16, ask for the old godly ways and walk in it. Ask for the old godly ways and walk in it. And then you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, my yoke, the Lord talks about my yoke. If you can put up the pictures, is easy and my burden is light because Jesus bears the yoke with you, the burden with you. If you see in the picture here, a picture of a yoke, see what it looks like, and there's the yoke on the oxen. And there's usually a lead that goes toward the back so the person can guide where they want the oxen to go. And this is what Jesus knew they would understand this concept because it was agricultural society. But Jesus represents the older, stronger ox. Now, the older, stronger, experienced ox is yoked with a younger, new, inexperienced ox, who would be us. And as they walk together, the older ox really carries most of the burden because he does know what to do, and he's kind of gently guiding the new one along as they learn to pull the burden together, together, together. Rest is not a call to a lazy, indulgent life. There is still a yoke to bear. There's something to do. And there's still a burden to carry. Yet, with Jesus, it's easy and light because he's walking with you. The burden is lighter because of the disciple relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus. Jesus promises a rest of love, of healing, of security, and of peace. The peace of God, as well as peace with God. Now, how do you find this rest? You can find this rest through communing with God, having a prayer life, a continual conversation with God. Of course, we're able to do that in the name of Jesus because Jesus is the one that opened the way for us to be able to speak with God. We can find soul rest as we have faith in his word and his promises. Jesus is the word of God. And finally, we can find our soul rest as we totally trust in the faithfulness and the love of Jesus Christ towards us. As I conclude today, short today, I want you to remember that rest for the weary soul and that the promised rest for God's people is found in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I hope that's helpful to you. It has been a blessing to me. And the things that we go through, God just helps us to understand as we walk through things, how to let him carry the load. Sometimes it feels to me when I'm resting in the Lord, especially in things I'm going through right now, it's irresponsible. I should be planning. I should be doing this or doing that because normal people, regular people, that's what they do, right? But he's teaching me and all of us something different. We're going to be going into days and times that are not like we have lived before. And he's trying to teach us to get in closer to him, hold on tighter to him, know him better. And I pray that you will yourself just get into these scriptures and study and let the Lord talk to you about his rest. Amen. Let us pray. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. My soul finds rest in you, Lord. Truly, my soul finds rest in you. and my salvation comes from you. It's so easy for me to worry about circumstances in my life. Each day, Lord, each day that's called today, help me to remember that you are always in control. Today, I'm choosing to trust in your provision, your protection, and your plans for me. Because I know you care about every need and every desire I have, I know I can rest in you. Give me peace as I give you control of my life. And for these things, Lord, I love you, I honor you, I bless you, and I thank you. For it's in Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We want to thank everybody as they've come out today. Thank the people that have joined us on Facebook. We want to let you know that if you have a prayer need or a concern, the altar prayer team will be here right after service. We love all of you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.